Hello, welcome to episode 2 of A Screenwriter's Secret Diary podcast. In this episode, I want to rant about being someone's alien as a non-US artist living in the US. That's going to expose the reality of being on an artist visa here in the US. The sponsorships, the application period, recommendation letters, awards, press. I'm going to talk about everything. It doesn't matter if you're American or from somewhere else. Both groups have something to learn from this episode. Well, I'm currently on my second O-1 artist visa. I've been doing this for 4 years, been in the US for more than 6 years at this point, because I did my master's in screenwriting at a film school in Los Angeles. Then I stayed here because I had some gigs lined up. No one wants to really stay here on purpose anymore. Trust me, that's not true anymore. You first come here with a dream, you want to stay and all, but later down the road, it loses its charm. It's like a relationship. When the honeymoon phase is over, you see the real face of someone. So you see the real face of Hollywood, real face of Los Angeles, the real many faces of Hollywood, and you have the realization that it might not be worth all this time, effort, and energy, and your mental health, the American dream, the California dream, and it's BS at this point. And just as we're in a period where every BS thing is being exposed, I thought I should be the one to expose this. I'm kidding. Half kidding. I don't want to get in trouble, please, but also if I get in trouble for talking the truth, then I will lose trust in our society even more, and I don't know how that will look like, honestly. So one thing that I struggled a lot during my application for the first and the second artist visas was how I was called my sponsor's alien. So let's say my sponsor's name is Kelly. I don't know any Kellys personally, but every document for the artist visa referred to me as Kelly's alien. Let's define alien, shall we? So when I Google it, it says belonging to a foreign country or nation. It doesn't sound like it though. Didn't we just have this UFO hearing and alien talk and all that? So in that context, alien means a being who wasn't born on Earth. An alien means someone who's not human. When I say alien out of context, like just, hey, what do you think of alien? You probably start thinking of either the green little cute aliens or the scary things from Stranger Things. It's so weird to be called Kelly's alien because I don't identify as an alien. And I do not want to be called that. I want to be called by my name, please. Full name, if possible, since these are legal government documents. And there's my name being referred to as Kelly's alien. I can't take that seriously. I also don't understand why the notification documents are mailed to the sponsor and not the person who the visa belongs to. What's my sponsor gonna do with the documents? They're gonna send it to me because I have to visit the US embassy in my home country and get the visa stamped on my passport. So I need those documents. My sponsor doesn't need them. They're literally telling us on our faces that they don't take us seriously. We're not the point of contact. But it's hilarious because it's my visa. Not my sponsor's visa. My sponsor literally didn't do anything for this application other than filling out some forms and signing a few documents. I paid like more than $5,000, and some people pay more than $15,000 to apply for this visa. And some of these people get rejected, some people get accepted, but they don't contact the actual person for none of these notification documents. They always send it to the sponsor. So what happens when your sponsor doesn't check their mailbox? You don't know what happened to your application. You just assume they're still looking over it. When I applied for an O-1 visa a second time, my lawyers said they sent the application and we just have to wait. Great, I was waiting and it was like 2 months later at that point and boom, my sponsor texted me saying my application was sent back because the application fee changed to $460. And that document was sent to her 2 months ago. Literally, right after we sent the application, they sent her this document saying it got rejected because the fee changed. I don't blame her for not checking the PO box. She was busy and all. I get that. But I honestly blame myself for not reminding her because it's my job to keep track of my own application. I just really assumed everything was fine and I didn't think twice about anything. I blame these people who think contacting my sponsor instead of me about my own visa is a good idea. I don't get it and I will never get it. Would you die if you sent a copy of that notification to my mailbox too? Like, why are you not contacting me for my own visa. I check my mailbox like once a week, if not more. So maybe send it over. I don't understand why these people don't take us seriously. The fact that we're not even in the list of contacts. I think they send notification to our immigration lawyers and our sponsor, not to us. And they know our address, okay? They have our fingerprints. They know everything about us. So it's not that hard to send a copy to us, but it's okay. And some people listening to this might think, you're an alien. They don't know you, but they trust your sponsor because they're American and you're not. If you really think that way, then I don't think you should listen to this episode. You don't trust me because I'm not American? That's just a weird, bigoted way of thinking. And I think it's time to rethink our systems and make sure we do a good job of representing people from all backgrounds and respecting people for being here and trying to contribute to the country and its economy. Speaking of, I just found out that alien does not appear in California's labor law. Someone said, alien is now commonly considered a derogatory term for a foreign-born person and has very negative connotations. Finally, I hope we adopt this mindset more. Anyway, so yeah, we had to refile it all over again, but thankfully it took very little time for my lawyers to do damage control and they sent it with the correct fee. This incident became the inciting incident of this episode, actually. I want to talk more about the O-1 visa process, the artist visa process, specifically in the United States. I would love to help you out if you're out there and wondering if this might be a good fit for you. So O-1 visa is an artist visa. This is given to people who have extraordinary abilities and success in their artistic field. Here's a definition of O-1 visa on USCIS page. The O-1 non-immigrant visa is for the individual who possesses extraordinary ability in the sciences, arts, education, business, or athletics, or who has a demonstrated record of extraordinary achievement in the motion picture or television industry and has been recognized nationally or internationally for those achievements. And specifically, O-1A, individuals with an extraordinary ability in the sciences, education, business, or athletics. O-1B, individuals with an extraordinary ability in the arts or extraordinary achievement in motion picture or television industry. If you're an artist or a screenwriter like me, you get the O-1B visa. There's one goal when you apply for an O-1 visa, and that is proving that you are extraordinarily talented and recognized in your field. To do that, you have to provide recommendation letters from experts and mentors in your field. You have to provide evidence of all the press you got and awards your projects got to prove that you are recognized. Your extraordinary talent is recognized by other people in your field or by extraordinary people in your field. And you have to also provide, if you're a part of an organization like WGA, Writers Guild of America, for writers, right? And no, thankfully, you do not have to be a part of an organization. It's just there to show if you are. I was, for example, a part of an organization for writers, not WGA, but some other, not guild, but a large group of writers looking out for each other. And it was an extraordinary group. And I had help from them in my first O-1 visa. But in my second O-1 visa application, I wasn't a part of that group. There's some very juicy tea behind why I left the group. It has something to do about some people, fellow writers or filmmakers, trying to scam each other, promising them to break into Hollywood. Guys, that's why I'm so tired of these podcasts, videos, people selling you the idea of breaking into Hollywood. And I want to expose how breaking into Hollywood is hard, especially if you're not born to a well-known filmmaker family or producer family. It's all nepotism, to be honest. That's not to say random unknown people don't break in. They do. But if you realize, their stories are more glamorized than the ones who already had connections in the industry. And that's because they thrive on selling you the idea of breaking into Hollywood. Anyways, that's just a side note to drop here. I'll definitely talk more about how this entire scam works and how you can avoid being targeted. Like me, at the beginning of my career, my friends and I often got targeted by different scammers. I'll spill the tea in the next episode, so make sure to follow and turn on the notifications so you don't miss that episode. So for the O-1 visa, you have to provide evidence of how you're an extraordinarily talented alien. Literally. And then you need an American sponsor. That's where it gets interesting. So when I heard this, I was surprised, but you apparently don't need a sponsor that's in the same industry as you are. They can be someone random. The only requirement is that they are American. But I personally wasn't planning on asking anyone other than people I work with. Then randomly, someone I didn't ask, my business partner, we run an indie production company together. She asked me if she could be my sponsor. I said, yes, girl, please, I really need one. She's been the best and helping me out throughout ever since. She also became one of my best friends. We write and produce together. It's a whole thing. And we meet every week, several times. I have clients on the side that come and go, but my main work is with her, basically. Too many details. Moving on. This part of the O-1 visa actually got me horrified at first because apparently, after you get her all the evidence and recommendation letters and all that, which takes weeks, if not months, your application is first sent to whatever union you're a part of. So as a screenwriter, my application is sent to WGA, Writers Guild of America, and AMPTP, Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers. I don't know why AMPTP also checks it, but they do. And weirdly, my filmmaker friends who applied as cinematographers or editors, theirs didn't get checked by AMPTP. It's usually DGA for directors, and I think IATS or maybe something else. I can't remember. And also, of course, if you apply as a producer, AMPTP should check it. For the Directors Guild of America, I've heard terrible things. I was going to apply as a director too because I love directing, and I was hired as a director before my O-1 visa when I was on my OPT, which is this one-year work permit they give you if you studied here in the US. I did my master's in screenwriting, so boom. I got the work permit for 1 year, and I just love directing, but now I can't because I didn't get the O-1 visa as a director. That's another thing. Don't think you can work as anything and earn money. No, you cannot legally work as anything else but a screenwriter or whatever you got your O-1 visa as. And that's one of the biggest struggles of an O-1 visa, if you don't have good paying gigs. Keep that in mind. You need the work and legal work to actually stay and make your artist visa worth it. I never promote something illegal. Don't do it. It really is not worth it. Work as whatever you got your O-1 as. Moving on, I've heard bad things about Directors Guild of America from multiple people. Three of my director friends all got denied immediately before the application even got sent to USCIS. DGA, Directors Guild of America, checked it and they immediately said no. And when these guilds say no, you can't even file your application. So DGA is basically closing the gates for foreigners, and they said in their replies to my friends that they need to have an Oscar or an equal level of an award. Otherwise, they won't be approving their case. And again, DGA's no means that all the money, which is something around $5,000 to $15,000 to hire the lawyer, the application fee, the printing fee, the WGA filing fee, the DGA filing fee, everything. So you can't get a refund. DGA said no. So that means you cannot file. So all that work you've done to apply for an O-1 visa was for nothing. DGA just blocked your entire way to getting a visa in the US as a director, and they just stopped you from advancing your career. They don't want you here. Because when someone tells me a director needs to have an Oscar or an equal level of award for me to say, yes, you can file your visa application, then my reply to that is, so an American also needs to have an Oscar to become a DGA member? If not, it's double standards. Just saying, no hate for anyone. Obviously, DGA, WGA, and all the other guilds are precious. They provide a lot of value, but I think they need to just revise their rules and make sure they put everyone on an equal scale rather than judging someone based on their nationality and blocking their way to success. You know, what could have been a possible success if you didn't say no to that right away? Okay, moving on. I think that's all about the O-1 visa. Of course, there are some nitty-gritty details, but I cannot possibly cover all that in this episode. If you are curious about this process, I suggest you to Google O-1 visa immigration lawyers and get free consultation from multiple. Make sure you have your case prepared, but I don't mean your whole case. Just make a list of your successes, your press, and what you have so far. Make a list of people you can ask recommendation letters from. Have at least 10 to 15 people you can ask. If all say yes, good. If half of them say yes, that's also really good. So present all that to the lawyer in your free consultation and see if this visa is for you. I'm obviously not trained in law or legal things. Whatever I shared here is all my personal experiences, things I saw as someone who got the O-1 visa 2 times now in the US. But I hope it was helpful. Make sure to follow this podcast if you're curious about Hollywood and the behind the scenes and all the tea. I'm really excited to talk about some of my personal experiences and what I went through living in Hollywood, and I'm definitely gonna be brutally honest. You know it. Make sure to rate this podcast if you want to help me out. And I also have an Instagram and a TikTok with the same name for this podcast if you want to support me. Thank you for listening, and see you in the next episode.